Hello, you're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life, the program that visits world events and the issues that affect God's people in these end times.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life. Today, we're going to continue discussing the issue of dominion theology. As usual, I'm going to be joined by my anti-feminist submissive wife, Donna. Donna, say hi to everybody.
Hello, everyone. I'm happy to be back in my submission and anti-feminism point of view.
Yes, I take great honor and the thought that my wife is not one of them feminist wives that restricts my manhood and restricts my ability to be a true man. And it even reminds me, you know, Donna has always been a fragile type person and a person that has depended on me for encouragement and help. And I remember when we met, I was out gathering wild grapes for a meal out in the prairie, and I heard a scream, and I heard hooves and a horse running, and I looked up and there she was. Donna was on a runaway buckboard. Her horse wouldn't stop. She was on the trail, and I quickly jumped on top of my steed, and I followed her on the trail, and it's a good thing that I caught up with her. I did catch up with her, and I slowed the horse down, because if I wouldn't have, her buckboard would have gone over the cliff and she would have perished.
Excuse me, honey.
Yes.
I am fairly certain that is part of the plot from the third Back to the Future movie. Third one or the second one?
Didn't this happen to us?
No. That wasn't us.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure that wasn't us, because I've never driven a buckboard or even been on a buckboard.
You didn't almost go over the cliff and die?
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, we didn't meet in the prairie when I was...
No, you know, honey, I don't think we've ever actually been in the prairie except for driving past it.
Weren't you on a horse or weren't...
No, I've never ridden a horse.
Oh.
Have you ridden a horse?
You know, now that I think about it, I don't... Oh, that wasn't me. That was a movie?
Yeah, you must have combined the movie with a dream and it became part of our reality.
Oh, so I mixed a movie and then I added it to my reality?
That's what seems to have happened here.
Wow, I just merged a memory from a movie of Back to the Future from 30 years ago into a memory, and it didn't happen. You know what, Nana? Is it possible that that's what some people do sometimes when they have prophetic images and dreams, that it comes out of their own imagination? Does that happen?
It does happen sometimes.
Wow, so that was a close call, right? I almost gave an account that was actually a movie.
You did almost do that.
And now that I'm thinking of back to... That was Doc Brown, the old professor...
And teacher Clayton. Clayton was her last name.
Oh, okay, ladies and gentlemen. Do you remember that? The Doc Brown, the guy, Marty. Marty, it's... Okay, so we didn't meet in those circumstances.
No, we met in church, honey.
Were you about to go over the cliff?
No, I had my hands lifted high. I was praising the Lord.
There was no cliff?
Nope, I didn't see any cliff in the church.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me back up and start all over again. Okay, backing up. Okay, let's start again.
Okay, let's start over.
Okay, cue the music. Okay, there's the music. Okay, fast forward the music. And now here we go. Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life. Today I'm going to be joined by my lovely wife, Donna, who is not a feminist and she is submissive. Do I include that?
You may include that. That's a good idea.
You're not a feminist.
No, I am not a feminist.
What do you think of feminist wives, Donna? Be honest.
I could get in trouble for being honest.
Why?
Because that is one of my soapboxes, is feminism.
Do you think maybe some of the people listening could fall under that category? Are some of our listeners in that dynamic where the woman is...
Yeah, is the boss? I hope not. I hope that all of our listeners are... mature Christians or growing Christians who are studying the word and trying to apply that to their lives, and especially women and how we relate to our husbands. I'm going to believe that's what's going on.
In other words, you're hoping that none of the listeners out there are in the dynamic where the guy is...
henpecked.
Well, that's a mean way to die.
Wearing the skirt in the family.
Well, the guy wears a skirt. Now, okay, if he was in Scotland, that would not be a bad thing.
Well, yes. A kilt is very different from a skirt, though.
Ladies and gentlemen, please disregard my wife's very rude and bold comments, because we're pretty sure there's no men out there that are
wearing skirts. Unless they are Scottish, then they might be wearing a kilt.
But we're also pretty sure, or we hope, that there's no henpecked men out there.
I hope not.
And
with reverse order going on in the family? No, I hope that's not going on.
And we do know this. Husbands and wives do sit down in the living room or wherever they are in the car and they listen to this program. So if some of them are not in that dynamic and the man is boldly, yes, I'm the he-bear. I'm the man of this house. I have my own chair. And the food is ready when I get home. If that dynamic, the old-fashioned, right, mm-hmm. traditional?
Yes.
He's proudly listening to these words.
Yes.
And he's looking at his wife smiling and he probably just winked at her. But some of our listeners are in that dynamic. The husband might be, he's not saying a word because he doesn't want to bring it up. Because if he does.
Well, he's getting the evil eye from his wife.
I don't know if I'm going to keep listening to these people. Who are these people? Making fun? Who are these people? Who are these people, Maynard?
So she's an old Southern woman.
Oh, Southern women aren't feminists, though, are they?
I think you find feminists in every walk of life. Let's say Christian women should not be feminists.
How about Christian Southern women?
Hopefully not.
I think there's less feminist Christian women in the South because they like to cook and make cornbread.
Yes, definitely. Cooking makes you not a feminist. That's right.
And they like to have a roast in the crock pot at
mm-hmm.
church.
Mm-hmm.
So when they get home, they'll feed everybody.
I think the definition of a feminist doesn't have a lot to do with who does the cooking, but has a lot to do with the lack of submission to their husband and thinking that men are the enemy. Because that's the basic gist of feminism. Men are the enemy.
We have totally derailed our topic.
We are way off topic.
Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for my wife for digressing this topic, for using up your time, your important time, because you come to this program, and when you turn us on, you want to hear depth and substance
yes.
and things that matter and issues that are going to help you navigate your life. So I apologize for my wife.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
By the way, feminism and the dynamic where it's flip-flopped, where the man is not the head of the house and the woman is the head of the house, is an issue of life that we need to talk about someday. Let me just leave that out there for now. Let's dangle it. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear about this topic, send us an email and let us know if we should touch this.
With our 10-foot pole.
So it could be one of the topics that we talk about in the future because Donna is very outspoken about wives who shirk their position and usurp someone else's position and role.
Yes, that is an issue, and it is something we should talk about in the future.
Okay, so with that, let's move forward. We do have a lot of information, ladies and gentlemen, and yes, we were having some fun, and we appreciate that you allow us to come into your houses and your living rooms and your cars and your iPods, your MP3 players to listen.
MP3 thingy.
That MP3 thingy. Yeah. And now they're everywhere, Donna. The phone.
They are.
The Beats headphones and the Beats Spear.
Skull candy. You got to have your skull candy. That's what my kids tell me. You got to buy skull candy.
Or that Beats pill.
Oh, yeah. The speaker. Yeah.
There's all kinds of ways to hear programs now. But we appreciate you allowing us to share with you, ladies and gentlemen. So let's move forward. Now, in the last session, we began discussing the theology of dominionism. And Donna, we had a lot of responses on Facebook. We got a lot of emails, but we barely scratched the surface. When we shared last week, some people contacted us, and they said, Nathan, you know, you made mention of the false church of the end times, the false prophet. They wanted to know the reference of that. That's found in Revelation 13:11. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And he causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. So the second beast had two horns like a lamb. It looked like a lamb. Donna, what is it?
It is a false version of Christianity.
That's why it's a lamb. It's Christianity or a false version of it, but it spoke
like a dragon. And a dragon, of course, is the devil.
And we can see that when we see the description of the first beast, it said he got his authority from the dragon.
So both were powered by Satan.
And in verse 2, we see that the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And it also says in verse 11 and 12, that the second beast, the false church, otherwise known as the false prophet, exercises all authority of the first beast. So this second beast is the false church system. Now, in our first program, we made a comment, and Donna, I said, we're going to get emails from people that are going to argue and say, nuh-uh, Nathan, nuh-uh, you're saying it wrong. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to establish the method that I am using to dissect the scriptures and have this discussion. And I am hoping that by explaining my method, that would offset and delay the temptation for some of the listeners out there, Donna, to quickly get on their computers and to correct us, to let us know that we're saying it wrong. How do I say this nice? No one has it figured out, end time Bible prophecy. Not one human in the whole planet has it figured out. But our job is to be students of the word and students of prophecy and to try to attain the classification that we find in Daniel 12 where it says, the wise will understand. We want to be wise, ladies and gentlemen. I've stated this in the past. I've said many times that in the first advent of Jesus, when he was born the first time, no one in Israel, think about this, folks, no one, not one person in Israel knew that he was born that night. Besides Joseph and Mary, mm-hmm. No one else knew. Now, the shepherds showed up, but the angels told them.
Yes.
But not one of God's people in Israel knew. Think about that. You have rabbis and high priests and all these Levites that studied the scrolls and they had possession of the scrolls. Not one of them knew that Messiah was born. The only ones that knew were non-Israelites from the east. Wise men, wise people. They were wise. So what do we have so far? We have that in the first advent, only the wise men knew. And then in Daniel 12, it says, only the wise will understand. The angel told Daniel, Daniel, seal up the words of the prophecy until the end. It's going to be sealed until the end. The wicked will not understand, but the wise will understand. So our job, ladies and gentlemen, is to be wise. And when we put it in that context, and when we also include the account of the first advent, that not many people knew the prophecies, only the wise men, which is a handful, what, 3 to 5? Who knows? Not many.
Maybe as many as 10.
Right, but it wasn't many.
It's a small group.
So in the end times, I submit this. I submit that not as many people will know as they thought they knew. God's going to throw prophetic curveballs when prophecy happens.
And also, since it is sealed up to the end, it's not the wise men that were around right after Jesus was resurrected that knew the answer, because that was not the end. It was sealed up until the end. So that would conclude that since we are living in the end of days, that now God would open up what was written and start to reveal it to his people.
And you're saying that, Donna, because we have also been contacted with this rebuttal. They will say, Nathan, the early church believed that the Antichrist was going to come from here, or it was going to play out this way. His role would happen here. He would fulfill here. The false prophet is this and this. And people reference some of the early church writers, Donna, and they use that as the answer to explain the end times. But ladies and gentlemen, think about this. Please make note of this. The angel told Daniel, seal it up until the end, because no one will understand until the end. And it will only be the wise ones who understand.
Yes.
Meaning, the ones who wrote about it 2,000 years ago, the early church, it was sealed. So it's impossible for them to have known.
And also, if it is a common story that has been written about, like, let's say, the Tim LaHaye books, that is most likely not the way it's going to play out, because the entire unsaved world has heard that, and they have a picture of what Christians are expecting in the end of days. So that is most likely not how it's going to play out.
Daniel says the wicked will not understand, but the wise will understand. So if an interpretation of an end time prophecy, like the Tim LaHaye books, is very popular, and most of the world has read it, when we consider if a lot of people have read it and it's popular, in the mix of those who have read it are wicked people.
Yes, many.
But if Daniel said the wicked won't understand, then that means by default, if it's popular and wicked are reading it, then it's not going to happen that way. When we look at the first coming of Jesus, before he arrived, before Messiah arrived, there was most likely a lot of rabbis and people who are teachers and noted for understanding the scriptures and understanding the Messiah. And they probably had their seminars and they taught everybody how it was going to happen. And that is why when Jesus was here on earth, they often came to him and said, Jesus, are you going to overthrow the government now and set us free? They had this idea that they were told wrong.
Yes, they were clearly taught that Jesus was coming back to destroy the kingdom and set up his own.
So they all thought wrong about the kingdom. Mm-hmm. When we look at the end times, the same thing is going to happen again. So now let's come back to what I was talking about. We've been emailed. We have been sent several emails and said, Nathan, you said the false prophet is not a human. And the beast is not a human, because I said that on the last program. In order for us to be students of end time prophecy, of eschatology, of the Bible, according to Scripture, we must interpret Scripture with Scripture and not do it through the traditions and philosophies of men. The traditions of men have told us things that are not biblical, Donna. And one of the most popular ones is the Antichrist and the beast are interchangeable. People use the two terms to mean the same thing.
Yes, you're right. They do interchange the two.
Because you've read the emails, Donna, they say the beast is the Antichrist. And ladies and gentlemen, in our last program, we explained through the Scriptures using the book of Daniel and Revelation that tells us that there are four beasts. Daniel was shown earlier beast kingdoms. For those who might not know what I'm talking about, it's in Daniel 7:23. The angel said, "The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which will be different from the other kingdoms."
The fourth beast is a kingdom, a government.
A government, the end time New World Order that we have been observing rise up even right now, the New World Order is not a human. So ladies and gentlemen, according to Daniel 7:23, take out your Bibles. If you're taking notes, get out your pen and paper, write that down. And if you have your Bible, go to Daniel 7:23 and read what it says. The fourth beast is a kingdom. That's the same beast in Revelation 13:1 that is rising from the sea. That is not a man. So when it says that beast had a head wound,
so that kingdom has the head wound. That kingdom is not a person. That kingdom is a government system.
Revelation 13:3, I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and its deadly wound was healed. So the beast is not human, ladies and gentlemen. The little horn, though, the spokesman, the villain, the pompous person that we read about in Daniel 7 and 8 and 11 and in other places, also known as the Antichrist, is now that's a different person.
And it's actually the little horn is the person who embodies the Antichrist spirit in the end time.
Right.
Therefore, we call him the Antichrist.
Right. So if the first beast is not a human, we've just proven that.
Yes, you have.
Then the second beast that rises up in verse 11, then I saw a second beast that looked like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. That is the false church system, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we got emails and they said, Nathan, nuh-uh, he's a man. Ladies and gentlemen, it's right here in the Scripture. Now, there is one proof that I have also used, and it's not me proving, it's the Bible. The Bible interprets itself. Scripture proves itself. And I don't know why some of the prophecy teachers don't take this into account, but when we read Jesus getting on his horse in Revelation 19, he gets on the horse, and the armies of heaven are with him, which are
us. We're following behind Jesus.
Returning. The event, the account of Jesus when he arrives on the earth, Armageddon's taking place, and the armies of the earth try to shoot toward the sky. I don't know what came upon their mind, but they see Jesus coming in the clouds and they start shooting at him. It says that in Revelation 19. And then it says the first thing he does is he takes the beast and he takes the false prophet and he throws them into the lake of fire. That's in Revelation 19, ladies and gentlemen. That is when Jesus is first returning to earth. And the reason he does that is because he's taking the authority of government so that he can reign over it. And then he's taking the authority of the false church so that he can be the theocratic ruler of earth. So he has to subdue politics and religion. The first and second beasts represent politics and religion. We've talked about that, Donna.
Yeah.
Now, because Jesus is taking the first beast and throwing him into the lake of fire, and then he's also taking the second beast and throwing him into the lake of fire, then he sets up his kingdom, and he rules for 1,000 years, and then after 1,000 years, we read about the
Great White Throne Judgment.
And it says, and then I saw the small and great, rich and poor, and no place was found for them. Every human being
that had ever lived
will stand before the Great White Throne. And if we're saved, of course, we don't have anything to worry about. But every human will stand before the throne. Why, Donna? Why will God do that?
Because God is just, and he will judge.
He will judge, so he will explain to them why they're in a mess. He will explain to them why some of them have been waiting at the county jail, hell, for however long they've been in hell.
Yes.
And then they get pulled out of hell, they stand before him, and then they get thrown in the lake of fire. But God does that because he's just. He would not throw someone without judging them into the lake of fire.
Right.
Would God take a human and throw them directly into the lake of fire? No, God would not do that. So, because we see Jesus on his horse taking the first beast and the second beast, and immediately bypassing the Great White Throne Judgment and throwing them in the lake of fire.
It means they cannot possibly be human beings. Now, the one argument I've heard against that is that, oh, they're Nephilim. It doesn't say anywhere in Scripture that either one is Nephilim. There is nowhere in Scripture that indicates that. So I'm just going to throw that one right out the window and go back to that they are systems and God is judging the systems and throwing them into the lake of fire because they are not human beings. They do not deserve to stand before judgment because how do you judge a system?
Exactly. So ladies and gentlemen, if you've been confused when you heard me say the false prophet is not a human, this is why. Because we're using Scripture to interpret itself. So now let's get back to where we were. The second beast, the false church system, is going to play a huge role in the end times because it even got its own scriptures talking about it. And we see what it does. Let's go ahead and read Revelation 13, Donna, about the verse 13. How interesting, 13:13, two Illuminati.
That is interesting.
But it says what the false church system, the false version of Christianity, is going to do. What does it say in verse 13, Donna?
Revelation 13:13 says, "He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell in the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark in their right hand or their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except that one has the mark and that the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666.
Now make note. So which system is going to make people get the mark? The government?
No, it's not going to be the government. It's going to be the false church that's going to cause mankind to take the mark.
Now think about that, folks. According to what we read right here, this false church system is going to do signs, miracles, wonders, and deceive the whole world into taking the mark. So there's going to be a marriage of politics and religion. There's going to be an association where the clerics of churches will meet with governmental leaders and they're going to have a relationship with one another. They're going to love each other.
A close symbiotic relationship.
So there's going to be preachers, reverends, pastors who will have access to the king's chamber, whoever the king is, the Antichrist. Now, I have proposed that the Antichrist could come from the United States of America. Now, I have a presentation that could show this, and it would take, Donna, how long would it take?
When we've done it before, it takes between 6 and 7 hours.
Yeah, it takes about 6 or 7 hours, and it takes all the scriptures in the Bible and shows that there is a very high possibility that the Antichrist can come from America. And if that's the case, that would mean that he comes from Washington, D.C., which means he is the
President of the United States.
And in this dynamic, if this one were to take place, that is one of the possibilities that it can happen that way.
Yes.
So that would mean that if the Antichrist is in the White House, then also we would expect certain church leaders who are deceived and not part of the true fold because they speak like a dragon, but leaders who are false would have a relationship with the president, with the Antichrist.
They would have access to him.
Now, for the listeners who might be saying, Nathan, that's messing with me because the Antichrist is the Pope. No, the Antichrist is Prince Charles. No, the Antichrist is going to be an Assyrian. No, he's going to be a Muslim. No, he's going to be a Jew. No, he's Jared Kushner. No. I know that there's a lot of theories out there, ladies and gentlemen. And whatever your theories are, lay them on the table. And research them and be watching. Be watchful and watch those people. But at the same time, if new possibilities rise up, let's put them on the table too, just in case. I think that's better to do it that way, Donna. To have several possibilities.
That is wisdom.
And then we can eliminate which, you know, if one of them dies because he's old, like Prince Charles is getting old. He's up there.
Right.
So it is wiser to have several possibilities. But aside from that, though, according to what we read in Revelation 13, we see that the false church system is going to have an ongoing relationship with the politician slash antichrist that is ruling the world at the time. And right now, Donna, we see an interesting relationship that has developed between the White House and certain leaders in Christianity who have been meeting with the president, Donald Trump.
Yes.
We're going to come to that in a moment and talk about it. But ladies and gentlemen, we are facing a very interesting morphing of Christianity, and especially Western Christianity, and here in the American church. We are watching a morphing take place where the traditional church structure as we have known it, by the way, none of the churches are perfect. We know that there's imperfections here and there. We know this because man, God uses men. But the church structure right now is morphing where the actual gospel is changing, where heresy in the highest order has crept in. And that has to do with the theology of dominionism. Now, last week we began discussing that theology and we covered a lot of ground and we talked about some of the players that are involved in this movement, including Todd Bentley,
Rick Joyner, Rick Warren, C. Peter Wagner,
Lance Wownow, and
Mark Taylor.
Yes, Mark Taylor. And we also covered some of the quote-unquote ministries that are involved in this movement. And we also covered some of the names that this theology goes by, like
the Manifest Sons of God, Joel's Army, New Apostolic Reformation, Kingdom Now, Word of Faith.
Okay, so there were several terms, and we're going to go into that on this program. So we're going to share more about this theology and this movement. Now, why are we talking about this? Why is this so important? I really need to stress that the topic from here on out, the things that we're going to talk about in this program, are so important for you to hear and to digest and to follow up on and to also research and to get a hold of and get familiar with. It is so important, and here's why. Because the goal of this theology, the actual writings and beliefs of this theology, they believe that they're going to be responsible for purging the earth, which translation means they will be the tools to exterminate and execute those who are not worthy. They're going to be used to kill millions of people.
And not just the world. They're going to be used to kill Christians who don't agree with them.
Martyrdom is coming because of the dominionist theology. They believe that they will be used to purge the earth. And if anyone disagrees with them or tries to stop them or slow them down, their job will be to righteously eliminate them, to remove them from the earth.
They will be judge, jury, and executioner.
Now, most people haven't heard this. People who follow Todd Bentley or might attend one of those churches, Rick Joyner's Morningstar, they might not know this, or maybe they do. I'm not sure. Some of them know this and some of them don't, but the writings are there and they do talk about it.
If they've read their church leaders' writings, then they know about this. If they have not, then they do not.
Rick Joyner has written about it. C. Peter Wagner has written about it. Bob Jones has written about it. And some of the early leaders of the Dominionist movement have written about it. Their books are available on Amazon. You can find them on the internet. You can download them. You can read about them. The proof is there. They believe they're going to be a part of an end-time army that's going to whack, that's the layman's term, assassinate, eliminate, purge, exterminate, assassinate, massacre, slaughter, whatever word you want to use to slaughter the unbelievers and those who are enemies of their doctrine. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is dangerous theology. If you saw the title of this program, I have in there the rise of the Christian Taliban. That's what this is about. Those words shouldn't even go together, don't it?
No.
Christian Taliban, but a Taliban is one of those cleric-led, extremist, radical forms of religion in the Muslim world. But in Christianity, we're going to see that happen because we're going to talk about the writings, folks. So as you listen to this program, please take notes, get your Bible. And I want to encourage you to listen to this program more than one time and share it with people that you know are a part of this.
Well, in my experience, the frustrating thing is that if you are attending one of these churches that believe in any of these different names, they will not admit it to you. I've been told straight to my face, no, we're not dominionists, by churches that were clearly dominionist. They have so many names and they can see. So if you ask them if they're one, they can say no, but in their heart, they're saying, but we're new apostolic. So I'm still being honest here. There is a deceit in how they present themselves.
When I was researching for this program, there's a wealth of research and information out there, ladies and gentlemen, and you can do the research yourself. And I want to encourage all of the people who are listening to this to do their own research. Folks, it is so important to get familiar with this. So while I was researching, Donna, I came across an article, and I printed it out, and I want to just share some of this with the listeners, and I believe you have it right here. And it's by a secular writer, and we're not going to read the whole thing. But the writer of this article, because they have been observing what's going on with this movement, they coined a term that I have never heard before, but it fits.
It does, yes.
Now, when we look at the attributes of God, God has three primary attributes that show his all-encompassing, limitless knowledge, power, and presence. And that's he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, and he's omnipotent. Omni. Mm-hmm. Right?
So when we hear the term omni, that's...
It means all.
Mm-hmm.
Limitless. This writer put omni and then side. He said omnicide, meaning a God massacre. So omnicide.
The followers of this theology believe that they are being led to slaughter other human beings.
Now, the name of this article is called Joel's Army and Omnicide in the Name of God. Now, this article was written in 2008 when John Hagee had a very strong influence over George Bush. During George Bush's presidency, John Hagee had that group, that organization.
Yeah, Christians United for Israel, I think.
Yes, it was. And they held rallies and they raised money. And on the surface, that sounds good, right? That's a good thing?
Yes.
And he was the head of it. One of the things that they were wanting and promoting and asking George Bush for was for him to preemptively strike Iran, to attack Iran, which is insane. But in our last program, we talked about it. I played a clip of him saying that.
He wants to bring millions of Christians together for Israel. But what's his message?
It is time for America to consider a military preemptive strike against Iran to prevent a nuclear holocaust in Israel and a nuclear attack in America.
Well, this person that wrote this article, Omnicide in the Name of God, is making reference to John Hagee's Christians United for Israel. And he says, yesterday we revealed that John Hagee's church is confirmedly within the Joel's Army movement, a group of the most extreme of the extreme, of neo-Pentecostal dominionists who believe they are part of the third Pentecost designed to raise a group of divine ubermenschen, supermen, to name and claim the world for their theology. Now, so far, this sounds like a secular person mocking our Christians' belief. So far. But he already told us some of the concerning things. And for the people that aren't familiar with some of these terms, they might say, what's your problem, mister? There's nothing wrong with that. Well, let's move on. One of the parts of their theology that is very rarely discussed, except by a few of us researchers, is that they are one of the very few groups on the planet to literally have a theological mandate for not only genocide, but near omnicide, both pre- and post-tribulation. Combined with the known use of coercive tactics and the decidedly unique interpretations of biblical verses that claim they're part of an end-time army of God warriors. It's not an exaggeration to state this is a potential threat to humanity. Now, what is he talking about, Donna? They believe they're God warriors?
Well, what he's talking about, and he's looking, yes, from a worldly point of view, but this is something we need to think about as true believers in the Bible. What he's concerned about is that they believe that in Joel 2, it talks about an army that's going to come in and destroy all of God's enemies. They're going to be killing people left and right who disagree with God.
Right, and that's where that comes from, Joel's Army, Joel chapter 2. Thank you, Donna. So, their interpretation of Joel's Army, well, from their own writings. Rick Joyner wrote this in one of his books called The Harvest, and he said, what is about to come upon the earth is not just a revival or another awakening, it's a veritable revolution. The vision, he was given a vision, by the way, was given in order to begin to awaken those who are just destined to radically change the course and even the very definition of Christianity. The dismantling of organization and disbanding of some works will be a positive and exhilarating experience for the Lord's faithful servants. The Lord will raise up a great company of prophets, teachers, pastors, and apostles that will be of the spirit of Phinehas. Now, ladies and gentlemen, write that down. The spirit of Phinehas. And then he goes on. Nations will tremble at the mention of their name. Now, he doesn't explain why.
Or how.
When we look at the biblical account of Phinehas, we go back to Moses in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, there was a plague going on because the children of Israel had married some of the neighboring women who were into Baal worship.
Mm-hmm.
And God told Moses, tell the Israelites, my children, get rid of them, send them back. So Moses had them all go back.
But one man didn't.
While Moses was giving the speech, there's a guy in one of the tents with his wife, a Baal-worshipping wife, having sex. So they're in the tent while Moses is giving the speech. So Phinehas, he was the high priest's son, and he became the high priest later on. Phinehas took a spear and went into the tent, and he made shish kebab out of the two of them, and he ran them through with the spear and killed them. And when he did that, God stopped the plague. He became the hero, and it was a good thing at that time.
So there's no other way to take the spirit of Phinehas, unless you're talking about Hophni and Phinehas, but we're not, except for that it is judge, jury, and executioner. That is what the spirit of Phinehas is.
Yes, because he goes on and says, nations will tremble at the mention of their name. They are going to be executioners.
Now, knowing that, and then you read again what Rick Joyner said, because it doesn't sound as bloodbathy as it actually is. But when you realize what the spirit of Phinehas is and you read it and it talks about what it's going to do to the church and then to the world, they are planning to have people who have the spirit of Phinehas to kill church leaders and church members and people who go to church who may not agree with them.
Okay, but so far this is conjecture, Donna. We're not sure. Let's move on in this article because this person has some quotes.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay, the article continues. A book written by Richard Kelly Hoskins entitled Vigilantes of Christendom, and it describes these warriors. He says of them, quote, as the kamikaze is to the Japanese, as the Shiite is to Islam, as the Zionist is to the Jew, so the Phinehas priest is to Christendom. It is very clear that they are preparing to slaughter those who resist their authority. Jesus warned, now watch this, they shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time will come that whosoever kills you will think they're doing God service. They're doing God a favor. That's in John 16:2. And that sounds exactly like the Inquisition of the Dark Ages.
And the spirit of Phinehas to come.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Donna and I are not just making this up. There are very concerned people who are noticing the writings of this theology, these leaders, who are talking about the role that they're going to be playing in the end times when Joel's army finally gets activated. Now, the article goes on. The one other group that talks about Phinehas priests, aside from Joel's army, happens to be Christian identity groups.
Which is white supremacy.
White supremacy. What is wrong with this theology? What is wrong? Where do we begin? The thing that's so disturbing about this is that it is infecting God's church right now, and it's leading God's people astray. And it's so dangerous.
But no one puts up their hand to say, excuse me, but what you're saying, pastor or pastor's guest, does not line up with scripture. There's not a lot of hand raising going on.
There's not. And it has slipped in and there's no resistance to it. Now, before we move on, Donna, there might be some people wondering, well, okay, they're using Joel 2. Nathan, I thought Joel 2 was about the sons of God. If you're listening to this for the first time, if you're out there, my friend, and you didn't hear part one of this series is an introduction. I want to encourage you to go hear it because there are some foundational things we've talked about. But Donna, there are a lot of our listeners who have come out of the church and they've been listening to the internet for several years now. They get their sermons from the internet. They listen to Block Talk Radio or they watch YouTubes. And there, I call it the Watchmen universe. There are certain names out there who have freely used these terms. Some of my ex-colleagues, I have been in interviews where I've heard my ex-colleagues bring up the man-child, the manifest sons of God, God's army, Joel's army, the latter rain. They have used the same terms and they never explained what it meant.
No.
They haven't.
No, they don't.
So some of our listeners have heard those terms as well, and they associate those terms with the speakers who, up to this point, well, what's the problem, Nathan? Are you saying they're wrong? Folks, this is not personal. This has nothing to do with your favorite speaker.
This has to do with the Bible, with Scripture.
It has to do with what the Bible says. And we cannot rewrite and reinterpret. Scripture must interpret Scripture. So when we look at the Bible and we see some of the brethren out there are using the term manifest sons of God, and they say it's going to happen, the glory, the awakening for the sons of God is coming, but they're not explaining what that means. That is dominion theology, and it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the term the man-child is used by some of our colleagues, Donna.
Yes, it is.
And along with that, they are also sharing in their beliefs that the point is going to come where glory is going to come to God's people, and a certain number of them are going to become
Super Christians.
They're going to move up in their relationship, and they're going to be given great gifts to do supernatural things because it's the end times. Now, I want to make sure that we are explaining ourselves. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I come from a Pentecostal background. So does Donna. Both Donna and I are spirit-filled. Both Donna and I believe in the gifts of the Spirit as we find in Corinthians, as Paul mentions them. The gift of healing, prophecy, word of knowledge, miracles, faith,
tongues,
etc. Those are in there. So we do believe that God does miracles. We believe that God does speak to his people in prophetic dreams and visions. However, at the same time, we do not believe that any of those gifts should supersede the Bible. They cannot take precedence over the Bible.
They cannot conflict with the Bible.
And they cannot conflict with the Bible. Thank you, Donna. They must line up with Scripture. They must. So when we look at the Bible, Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. Well, in the book of Acts, they did. The shadow of Peter would heal people, and Paul healed people, and the cloth. We know about all that.
Yeah.
We know those happened. And we know that miracles still happen today, to this day. But God has been doing them for 2,000 years. What we are saying here is, aside from the regular miracles that come and happen according to the need.
And the faith.
And the faith of the person, their relationship with God at the time, where they prayed up, did they fast and pray to be full of the Spirit, to be full of God's power, to do these miracles, etc. There is a price to pay to be able to do these miracles. It's called prayer, repentance, and walking.
And fasting.
And walking in holiness. So there is a method to being full of God to be able to be used with miracles. That is not what we're talking about right here. We're talking about the sons of God theory that the dominionists believe. They believe that at some point in the end times, God is going to elevate certain Christians into a new level where they are super Christians.
Really, they believe they're going to be like the superheroes of a superhero movie.
One of those Marvel movies like Thor, and they can command lightning, and they will be able to command the elements and all the natural laws that we are familiar with, like gravity. They will be able to overcome all of them. But it's not because they're prayed up and they fasted and prayed and they're staying there. It's because they ascended into a new level.
They ascended to a new level of Christianity. They will be chosen apostles to rise to this high level.
Actually, Donna, when you think about it, it has the markings of New Age beliefs, because the New Age believes the same thing. There's an ascension, you know, ascended masters.
The Mormons believe that too, because they believe they'll be God. The men can be gods.
Exactly. Joel's army, they believe, well, at some point at the end of time, before Jesus returns, Joel's army is going to be recruited and activated by God. And the purpose of Joel's army will be what we find in the book of Joel chapter 2. So let's go there, Donna, and read Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, let's look at this.
Joel chapter 2, it takes place on the day of the Lord.
If we look at the timeline, the day of the Lord is a future event that's going to take place where God punishes the earth for its evil. And we can find references to that all over Isaiah, Isaiah 13, 34, 35. We find the day of the Lord mentioned in Jeremiah. All throughout the Old Testament, we find the day of the Lord mentioned in Revelation. The day of the Lord is the highlight event that takes place right before Jesus returns. It's going to be when God judges the earth and punishes the earth for its evil.
It is the wrath of God.
It is the wrath of God. By the way, the wrath of God, it's not a period of time that takes place for years and years. The day of the Lord is
one day.
It says the day of the Lord.
Yes.
Now, some people call the day of the Lord a period, a season, a dispensation. There's a lot of interpretations on that, but if God calls it a day,
then it's a day.
That's pretty simple.
Yes.
On that day.
Very simple.
Ladies and gentlemen, on that day when it happens, okay? So let's keep that in mind. Joel 2, verse 1, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm in my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Okay, it's approaching. The day is approaching.
Mm-hmm.
For it is at hand. It will be a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. Now, we have talked about the darkness that's coming over the land even right now, and God has shown many of his people the darkness is coming, so that lines up with this approaching.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes on, a people come great and strong, like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be such after them, even for many successive generations.
Reading that line right there, it couldn't be these apostles with superhuman powers, because it says that they will not be seen any after them that are like this. If their theory holds true, then they would all be killed afterwards or destroyed because it's not going to be seen again.
Now, that word people in Joel 2:2, the people come great and strong, comes from the Hebrew word am or am. And if you look it up in the Strong's, there's several definitions of it. And the most common one is people. It could mean people. It could mean a tribe of people or men or a nation. But it can also mean, in addition to that, troops, soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
So the translators chose people. So when the Dominionists read people, they assume, well, it means the chosen ones that are fortunate enough to match this prophecy. So why can't it be me? Okay, fine. So far that sounds fair, that they want to be these people, right? But if Scripture is supposed to interpret itself, and if we're supposed to find truth from Scripture, we must read the entire context to see, is Joel telling us this is just some group of end-time Christians? Let's read on. A people, or a tribe, or troops, or soldiers, great and strong, the like of whom has never been. Now, right there, that means that they have never existed before, or they have never been around.
Right.
So the day before these people show up, they haven't been around. So if they were Dominionist Christians who got recruited to be a part of this group, that verse saying they've never been around would actually be defeating itself because they have been around. They were growing up and they were living on the earth for 50 years or 40, however old they are. But right. This verse says they've never been around. They just show up.
Nor will there ever be any such after them.
So they just show up for such a time as this event. For the day of the Lord, they show up.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, make note of that. They show up for the event. Before that event happens, before the day of the Lord, they have not been. That means the day before, the week before, the month before the day of the Lord, they have not been. Even for many successive generations. It goes on, a fire devours before them. Now the Dominionist believers have taken what we're about to read, Donna, these cool abilities, and they liken them into what they believe they're going to be able to do this.
Right.
So a fire goes before them, so they're going to be able to have fire in front of them, like one of the superheroes, I guess. And behind them, a flame burns. So they're like a torch?
Torch, I think.
I think there's a comic book character, Torch, and he has flames in front of him and around.
Yeah.
So that's what they can do. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them, a desolate wilderness. Whatever's in front of them, before they have a chance to torch anything, it all looks good. But by the time they walk past it, it's ruins. Nothing's left. And behind them, a desolate wilderness, surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses. So they look like horses? Like swift steeds, so they run, with a noise like chariots. Over mountains they leap, like the noise of flaming fire that devours like stubble, like a strong people set up in battle array. Before them, the people writhe in pain. All faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation. They do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb the houses. They enter the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon grow dark. The stars diminish. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes its word. For the day of the Lord is great and terrible. Who can endure it? So, who are these creatures? Are they angels? Maybe.
Maybe.
They could be angels, because it says the Lord's army.
Mm-hmm. But God has often used the enemy to be his army when he needs it to be.
Like, what do you mean?
Well, in Revelation, it talks about the locusts. They're going to come up, and it sounds like the locusts are a demonic presence that is going to come in and kill and destroy at God's bidding, because everything is done at God's bidding.
Exactly, and what you're referencing is found in Revelation chapter 9, where it says Abaddon, Apollyon.
Mm-hmm.
The boss of these locust demon creatures opens the bottomless pit and the locusts come out and they start biting everybody. By the way, it shows their description.
Yes.
So in that reference in Revelation 9, it describes. Now here's what's interesting. We just read here in Joel, it mentioned horses and that was in verse 4, Joel 2:4. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses.
Yes.
When we go to Revelation 9:7. What does it say?
It says, the shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns and something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men.
Okay, so then in Joel, their appearance is like the appearance of horses, like swift steeds, so they run. Like people set in battle array. So they look like men in battle array. And in Revelation 9, their faces were like the face of men. They had hair like women's hair, so they have long hair.
And they had on breastplates, like the breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings is like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. That's another confirmation that Joel's army is not super Christians. In verse 9, where it says it's like the sound of chariots, like horses. So again, it's a confirmation that Joel's 2 is talking about the same thing that Revelation 9 is.
We read chariots in Revelation. You just read that, right?
Yes.
Revelation 9:9, sound of chariots. And let's go to Joel 2:5, with a noise of chariots.
It is the same thing.
So we have horses, we have chariots, we have battle array. In Revelation, we have chariots, we have horses, breastplates, battle array. These are the same creatures, and the creatures in Revelation are locusts, demonic creatures.
That have been let out from the deep.
God allowed it.
Yes. Okay. So Joel's 2 cannot possibly be some superhuman Christian army.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are using scripture to interpret scripture right here. Joel chapter 2 describes these locust creatures, Joel's army, mirrors very closely what we read in Revelation 9 when the locusts come out. We have the chariots, the battle array, creatures that are going to bring destruction.
And it's interesting that it says they look like they have the faces of men, and yet they call them people in Joel 2. Could that not be because they look like they have the faces of men?
It could. So when the dominionists are taking this verse and attributing it to people who are going to be recruited and somehow get this uber anointing, the super anointing for the end times,
that makes them better than every other Christian.
Now here's where it's dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. We just read that these are not people. But if the dominionists are believing that they're people and they are told that they're people, and then when the tribulation begins and the Antichrist shows up and they're still preaching this false theology, and they say that it's time now, it's time to activate the prophets and the apostles.
And the spirit of Phineas.
With the spirit of Phineas. And then when we can read that the doctrine of demons is going to come in and they will deceive with great signs and wonders, when they ask the assembly, they'll say, okay, all of those that want to be a part of the spirit of Phineas, come forward. We're going to lay hands on you and impart the spirit of Phineas on you. Demons are going to get involved, Donna,
yes,
and make them believe that they're those people. They're going to make them believe they're members of Joel's army, and they're going to be sent out with orders to do certain things. What are they going to do?
They're going to execute anyone who does not fall in line or line up with their theology.
That is where dangerous theology comes from. Now, folks, this is not just a passing fad. The dominion theology has invaded the church.
It has also invaded our government.
It is unscriptural. It's unbiblical. And in some of the camps, Donna, let's talk about this. It involves sorcery, witchcraft, and New Age mysticism.
It does. Very
now,
much so.
Now, I know that some people may be offended with that and say, Nathan, really? New Age in church? We saw the New Age happen in the Todd Bentley services, where he actually said that the angel Emma taught him what he needed to know. And the angel Emma began by Bob Jones. Bob Jones brought it up. Bob Jones said that Emma visited him.
I believe it was the 3rd of December last year. And I was in a trance and I saw footprints walking up and down my living room. I was in a trance. And I got up and began to challenge him. And I began to challenge him in the name of Jesus, who are you? And they walked outside and rang my doorbell. I went to the door and opened the door, and there was a woman there, a 3 foot tall. And I invited her in because I said, you're the one that's walking in my carpet. And she said, yes. And she walked into my living room, and all of a sudden she became regular size. And I said, there's two of you, where's the other one? And a man spoke in a chair and said, I'm here, I'm Charlie. And I said, what are you angels here for? And he said, we're really not angels, we're beings. We're beings that surround the throne. And I said, I don't know that much about y'all. And why is she was 3 foot when I saw her, and she's sitting here and she's a regular size now. She's got a hot loaf of bread in her hands. I said, what's this for? And he said, well, the church thinks of the women as 3 foot tall. And this is the year that Irma's going to come in and begin to change that image. And Irma's got this bread and watch. And I saw Irma tear off pieces of bread and put it in women's mouth. And he said, this is the time that the women of God, the holy women, will begin to publish the news worldwide. And I saw
Bob Jones is one of the fathers of the Kansas City Prophets of the New Apostolic Reformation. He is now passed on, but he was one of their quote-unquote prophets, and his ministry was laced with sorcery, with New Age mysticism, with false prophecies. He led a lot of people astray.
And you will find a lot of angel stuff in these Dominionist NAR camp.
They are into angels. They love the angels, and Bob Jones talked about the angels.
And I knew that I had to go lay down. So I went and laid down, and as soon as I laid down, I wasn't there any longer. I was on a road, and I was looking down a road, and I saw 11 men approaching me. And one was in the front like the leader, and I knew that they were angels. And so the one in front came up to me and stood in front of me and told me his name. He said, "My name is Breakthrough, and I've come to the United States, and I'm looking for towns now that I can go to." And he said, "I've been in the United States 2 years now, and I want you to look at these other angels that's with me. What do you see?" And I told him, I said, "One of them was a healing angel, one of them was a miracle working angel, one of them was that brought wisdom, one understanding, one knowledge. One of them was a marketplace angel."
Oftentimes, we have seen this over and over, Donna, angels' involvement in
angel feathers, angel dust.
So my wife, I'm meeting with 40 pastors. I come upstairs, an angel comes to her, she's covered in gold. An angel comes to her, she's covered in gold. It was all over the bed in the hotel room, all over the floor. I said, "This isn't just a little gold dust where you're trying to see it on your hand." It was everywhere.
Yeah.
The great thing about that, or the interesting thing about that, was we switched hotels 3 times. And every time we switched the hotel, the same thing would happen. We'd check into the room and there'd be gold all over the floor, gold all over the bed. I'd never seen, I heard about it. I know it's happened with other ministries, but I said, "This is the most amazing." And it was happening to my wife.
Uh-huh.
We got on the airplane to fly one night only from Tonga to Johannesburg. I was preaching in Johannesburg one night, and we're on the airplane heading up there, and the gold appeared all over the floor in front of our seats where we were sitting on the airplane. Checked into the hotel in Johannesburg, the gold was there. Then when we flew back to the revival, because it was just in the first few days of the revival, they found 2 diamonds, one on the way in and one on the way out of the airport.
They seek after those types of things. The New Age was obvious in Todd Bentley's services. We have talked about the Kundalini. We're going to mention that in a moment. But the method of worship that they used was not biblical. It was not Holy Ghost reverent worship. It wasn't holiness unto the Lord. It wasn't to elevate Jesus, to lift up Jesus and just worship him. That's not what it was about. They were seeking angels. They were seeking supernatural signs. They were seeking vortexes and portals and presence, and they just wanted to get high off of the feeling in the air. That's what they go for.
Now, for some of you that are here, it doesn't really matter to you all that stuff. All you care about is God's moving. And you know what? That's all that really matters. So if you're not big on prophetic, supernatural, and angels, I'm sorry. It's my testimony. But if you want to know why God's moving, I have to tell you the whole story. And if you don't believe the story, well, sorry. You know, I told the Lord, "Why can't I just move in healing and forget talking about all that other stuff?" He said, "Because, Todd, you got to get the people to believe in the angel." I said, "God, why do I want people to believe in the angel? Isn't it about getting the people to believe in Jesus?" He said, "The people already believe in Jesus, but the church doesn't believe in the supernatural. The church has no problem believing in Jesus. What we don't believe in is the supernatural. We don't believe in angels. We don't believe in the prophetic. We don't believe in some of what's going on. And I'll tell you what, we need to have an awakening."
I was going to play a clip in a moment, Donna, but let's go ahead and do it now. Rick Joyner's church, Morningstar, regularly has weird services. They have conferences. And in one of their past services, they had a healing session where they told the people in the audience that we're going to do something now that God's going to move, and God's going to minister. And what we're going to do is we're going to play a song. It's a kid's song. And while we play this song, you're going to get healed. It was called "The Holy Ghost Hokey Pokey." Now, kids know the song, right, Donna?
Mm-hmm. Yes. They do.
You put your left...
Yeah, you put your left arm in, you put your left arm out, you put your left arm in, and you shake it all about. Something I just learned about the Hokey Pokey is that it actually, there's only two things that it could actually be. The original Hokey Pokey was Hocus Pocus, which is a spell, or else it was a misinterpretation of the Latin things the priest would say. There was something he said that sounded like Hocus Pocus. But either way, it is not something that should be in the church.
Okay, so the Hokey Pokey... is a deviation of, it's a form of Hocus Pocus. But the worship leader actually said, we're going to do the Hokey Pokey. And if you go to YouTube, ladies and gentlemen, you can type this in. The Holy Ghost Hokey Pokey at Morningstar at Rick Joyner's Church. And you will see. Donna, let me just play a portion of it right here,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, you have to play it.
Folks, this is the kind of thing that's going on in churches today. Okay, roll it. Here we go.
I'll tell you, 3 weeks ago, we did a Friday Night School of the Spirit. And we saw 12 people heal the word of knowledge and 40 healed doing the Holy Ghost Hokey Pokey. Let's just go ahead and do that and see what the Lord does. You guys okay to do the Holy Ghost Hokey Pokey? Can you lead it? All right, Brian's going to lead us in the Holy Ghost Hokey Pokey. You can...
Put your right hand in, put your right hand out. You put your right hand in, you put your right hand out. You put your right hand in, you dig your right hand out. You put it in, and you shake it all about. You put your right foot in, you take your right foot out. You put your right foot in, you take your right foot out. You put your right foot in, you take your right foot out. Put it in, and you shake it, jump in, and shake it all out.
Here's what we're going to do. To start making your way up, we want to hear what the Lord's doing.
When I started doing the Hokey Pokey, at first with the arms, nothing real effect. But then as soon as we started doing the whole, we'll put your left foot in, your right foot in, both of my knees, you know, one at a time, I could just feel, all of a sudden, it's like there was no pain. You said, start checking yourself. I just squat down.
Come on.
I've had back problems most of my life, and about a week ago, my back had gone out, and it was somewhat better, but it was still sore up until today, and when we did that Hokey Pokey, and she came up and testified, all the pain.
Yeah. Stop the tape.
Please stop the tape.
Donna.
I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, really?
You know, Janice and Jambri could do miracles, too. I'm just saying.
Oh, that was Pharaoh's two mystics that tried to do the snake thing?
Yeah, they did some of them. Some of them they couldn't accomplish.
But the Holy Spirit, the reverence for Jesus, Donna, the reverence for, by His stripes we are healed. We are not healed because we do calisthenics. We're not healed because we do spiritual jumping jacks. What we just witnessed was absurd on the highest order, but the entire church participated, Donna. The entire church. And I'm wondering if someone who attended... were to write and say, well, Nathan, I was there and I got healed. Again, what did you say, Donna? Janice and Jambri
can do miracles. That you can have a healing from the devil.
What did we read the false prophet's going to do? He's going to deceive the whole world by...
Signs and wonders are what he is going to use to deceive.
So, getting back to what we were mentioning about the angels. Paul tells us in Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9,
Galatians 1, 8 and 9 says, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed.
So if an angel preaches a new gospel, or a human preaches a new gospel, let him be accursed. Now the Dominionists, the NAR, New Apostolic Reformation, all of these leaders have stated that in the end times, he's going to give us new wine, and the old wine will be done away with, meaning the old gospel. He's going to give us a new gospel. New revelation is coming, which falls into what's prohibited right here. They're actually doing what is prohibited.
Yes.
We also read in Acts 20, verse 29, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. It was forecasted and prophesied that we would have deception in the end times, and from among Astana. So that means that some of the people who might have started off okay or safe or sound in their doctrine deviated for whatever reason. And ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the key things that must be remembered as I share these things. It must be remembered. Donna, how do I stress this? If it says right here, savage wolves will not spare the flock, from our own selves they will arise and deceive. That means that even amongst the Watchman universe, from amongst ourselves, there's going to be people who deceive from amongst us. That means some of the names that are popular even right now
are putting deception out. Yes, it does.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can do this yourself. Write down the names of all your favorite speakers, and I need to encourage this. All of them. If you have three main people you listen to from the internet or Blog Talk or YouTube, make note of their theology. Make note of their fruit. Make note of what they're saying. Even with me, even with Donna and I say this often, Donna, the things that I'm sharing, take it to God in prayer and ask Him if He bears witness. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason I can say that so easily and freely is because I make it a point, Donna and I both make it a point to ensure and make sure that what we share with you can be found in Scripture or cited or proven. Whatever we report has to be true. And if it's not sound doctrine, I can't share it. If I'm not sure about it, then I have to say that I'm not sure about it. If it's my opinion, I'll say that. But if it's doctrine, it has to be found in Scripture. Because in these end times, there are people who are deceiving God's children. I know I'm all over the map. We were talking about the omnicide.
The spirit of Phineas.
There are some of our listeners, Donna, who might be attending some of these churches, and they might be confused because they may say, well, I've heard them use sons of God or manifest sons of God and latter rain, and I've heard some of them, but they don't talk about slaughtering for God. They don't talk about that. So I think Nathan's making this up. I'm not so sure. Let's mention some of the terminologies that dominionist churches will use interchangeably. And if someone wants to research this, if you're taking notes, ladies and gentlemen, write this down. Let's give them a few of the words that the adherents will follow.
We'll tell to the congregants. This is what the congregants will get to hear.
Right. So research Joel's Army.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of them.
The Manifest Sons of God. The NAR. It's also known as the New Apostolic Reformation.
So they could type in N-A-R?
Yes, in all capitals, yes. The Man-Child. New Breed.
Okay, that's an interesting one. New Breed. All right.
Overcomers.
And see, that one's tricky because overcomers is a good term.
Yes, it is a good term.
They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
First fruits.
Which is also tricky because we want to be with the first fruits of, you know, Jesus is the first fruit of the resurrections.
But that's when we speak it, we're speaking about being resurrected to be with Jesus. Elijah Company, Phineas Priesthood,
mm-hmm.
New Wineskin. New Wave.
Latter Rain. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, take it upon yourselves to follow up on this topic with your own research because it's going to affect you. You need to be familiar with these terminologies and these buzzwords. Donna, there's also other type statements that they will make. Some of them will talk about the greatest revival that the church has ever known is right around the corner. And I want to comment on that because there are some people that are wanting to see revival. But ladies and gentlemen, we don't read that in Scripture in the end times. Jesus said there will be a great falling away.
Yes.
A great falling away because the love of many has waxed cold. They will betray one another. And then we see that in Timothy. We see it in Paul's writings. Because they had no love for the truth, they will believe a lie. So there's a backsliding happening to the church, a lukewarmness that will come upon the church in the end times. And we have stated this in the past. When God sends judgment to the earth, revival happens in individual households. It happens on an individual basis.
Yes.
What else will they say?
Well, they also say the greatest army, Joel's army, of course, will be distinguished by invincibility, immortality, and divinity.
They do say that, Donna. They do say that those that are participants will have the attributes of divinity. These NAR, quote-unquote, apostles and prophets even have their own supernatural school, and Todd Bentley has one even right now. And Cindy Jacobs has one, Rick Joyner has one regularly, and all these names will have their schools of the prophets of supernatural signs and wonders. They seek after that. But here's what's interesting, Donna. The second beast of Revelation will deceive with signs and wonders. So you have the false prophet church representative lukewarm movement using signs and wonders to deceive, and right now the NAR preachers are using signs and wonders to have schools.
Well, and they're doing it to the youth. They have when I went to youth group, and I think it's the same when you went to youth group, our pastors gave us biblical teaching on how to live a life walking in the path of Jesus Christ. When you go to youth group now in these NAR churches, what they do is they practice giving a word to each other. They get in little groups and they have to sit there and, you know, kind of nod and pray and pray and then get a word. And God can give a word for a person, but I don't think that it's not a magic trick where you get in line.
Well, they focus, instead of the equipping of the saints, and we do see the fivefold ministry in Ephesians. God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So the purpose of the leadership is to teach biblical doctrine, to teach the word so that the people have sound doctrine. And some of these services have bypassed teaching sound doctrine, and now you're right, they're into just the signs and the wonders. It's experience oriented. You know, I keep bringing Todd Bentley up, but I do believe it was a marker for some of the mess that we're seeing now, because so many people were polluted with that. But then we saw the main guy, Rick Joyner, took his entourage of other prophets, quote unquote, to the Lakeland Revival, and they prayed for Todd Bentley. And you know the thing that I don't understand? Rick Joyner endorsed Todd Bentley, who we know now was a fraud. He was demon-possessed. He was imparting demons. He was in adultery. But Rick Joyner endorsed Todd, and then he said that he helped him get restored. But then in the meantime, Rick Joyner's having hokey pokey and vortexes and weird gatherings at his own church. The thing that I don't understand, and ladies and gentlemen, please hear my heart when I say this. We can no longer just say, okay, I'm just going to take the meat and spit out the bones. I often hear that, Donna. People send me a video of some person that I know is a NAR or Dominionist, or they're in that weird cultish thing. And I'll tell them, you know what? I don't follow this person. And then the rebuttal I get is, well, you know, spit out the bones, but get the meat out of it.
There's no meat. There can be no meat because light has no fellowship with darkness.
There is no fellowship. And this is what I was going to say. I don't understand how even up to this point, or just up until recently, the Todd Bentley fiasco happened in 2008. That's
9 years ago.
It was 9 years ago, Donna, and Rick Joyner was one of the big cheerleaders of that. But for years following, he goes on Jim Baker.
He still goes on Jim Baker.
He goes on the Jim Baker program, and some of our listeners listen to Jim Baker.
Yes.
But Rick Joyner,
a member of the Knights of Malta.
He is a member of the Knights of Malta, yes. That's another Illuminati. Yeah, that's a whole other thing. But he's on Jim Baker. But then some of the other colleagues, or ex-colleagues, shall I say, Donna, are now on Jim Baker, rubbing shoulders with Rick Joyner. And so what's going on?
A mixture. An ecumenical mixture. It's just a mess.
It's a mess. But some of the, one of the most popular programs out there, Donna, in our world, regularly had Rick Joyner. Why?
Until recently, yes. Because of the Knights of Malta thing. He's no longer on that program. But wasn't there enough already with the Todd Bentley, with his books, The Harvest, with his New Apostolic Reformation beliefs, with his I'm the Great Apostle who's going to walk on water teachings? Wasn't that enough to say there is something wrong with this guy? There is something wrong with this ministry and I will have nothing to do with it.
Uh-huh. Well,
apparently not.
We're not going to say his name, right? I mean, it is true what we're saying right here.
And it's news.
So, but ladies and gentlemen, this is where we are. We need to be more vigilant. Donna, all of us need to. Because look at the fruit. When you look at these NAR people, Rick Joyner, and you look at who they're rubbing shoulders with, and look at the fruit of, is there confusion in their message? Folks, is there confusion in the message of some of the others that you listen to? This is one of the things that I want to make sure of. Donna, we don't bring confusion. We are cut and dry. We are consistent. Ladies and gentlemen, we haven't deviated. Our message has not changed. The message that I had 10 years ago is the same message now. Donna, we haven't deviated.
No.
There's no compromise in this. There is no contest and desire to be famous, and there's no desire to make sure we have a high audience rate. We don't play that game.
No, we don't. We don't clickbait you. We don't make salacious titles and bring on salacious guests that are just exciting just to get views. We're not here to do that. We're not playing that game. We're here to serve Jesus.
And right. To bring truth.
Amen.
So when Rick Joyner slobbered over Todd Bentley when they had the coronation service, I don't understand how the other quote-unquote apostles who were there, if they are prophets, they call themselves prophets,
mm-hmm.
and Todd Bentley was having an affair when they went there to christen him, Why didn't one of their radars go off and say, this isn't right?
And their word, why didn't they get a word? Because they were giving him words. They were speaking over him words that were supposedly from God. But not one of them said, you are that man. There was no moment where they recognized in him that he was in sin at that very time.
We lived in Colorado at the time. We saw it when they did the coronation in those apostles. It was Cheyenne, Cindy Jacobs, Rick Joyner. I don't remember all of them, but it was the NAR people. And we saw it from where we lived in Colorado at the time, Donna. We saw it, and we spoke out about it at the time. This is so wrong. And I didn't know he was having an affair. I just knew it was wrong.
Right.
Because you're not supposed to have an epileptic fit on the stage when someone lays a hand on you. Todd Bentley started doing it. The whole thing was a mess, and they are still infecting people now. And the followers of this NAR gospel are so confused. Even to this day, Donna, just a few days ago, you showed me, Justin Bieber.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his pastor went to New Zealand, apparently.
Carl Lentz is the pastor of Hillsong New York.
How do you spell Lentz?
L-E-N-T-Z, I think. And he won Bieber over to Jesus. Supposedly, you know, Bieber has had a come to Jesus moment. And he and Justin Bieber were in New Zealand. I don't know if they were on vacation together. They hang out a lot. And they were bar hopping. They were going from bar to bar drinking, and they were not drinking like sitting down having a beer or a glass of wine. They were taking shots, which the only purpose to take shots is to get drunk. And Bieber was getting so drunk that he started stripping. Pretty soon, I think he was almost naked, and he started dancing with an old woman while his pastor looked on and enjoyed it.
You can type in Justin Bieber, Carl Lentz, L-E-N-T-Z. Into Google, and it'll come up.
It'll come up.
It's the Hillsong guy.
It's like when I typed it into Google, because I didn't really believe it at first either, I had to match the tattoos to make sure I was looking at the right person. I didn't want to jump to conclusions. Came up as the third reference in Google.
Now, Carl Lentz is the same guy that said he didn't want to speak out against homosexuality.
And had the two homosexual men on his music team who got married. He didn't marry them, I don't believe, but they were two men who were on his choir or music team, and they got engaged, and they were so excited about it, and they say that he knows and has always known all about them.
Wow. So that's a side note, but we're in a mess right now, ladies and gentlemen, and this dominionist theology...
Heresy
is going to play a role in the end times, but it is a counterfeit.
It is a lamb that speaks with the mouth of a dragon.
In 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In the end times, Timothy tells us, says it right here, Donna, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. That means that there will be people that went to church, or leaders or pastors who attended church, but they will no longer follow the established doctrine of the scriptures. They will listen to a new doctrine.
An angel or a new voice they hear in their head.
But the source of the doctrine will be who?
The devil.
Doctrines of demons and devils and seducing spirits. This is the Bible, folks. And according to this verse, some people in the end times are going to be seduced by spirits. They will give heed to them. That means that they will give in to the spirits. They will surrender to what? To the lies of demons. They will give heed to theological doctrines of devils, of demons. What's the conclusion of this, Donna? In the end times, it's going to be important
to be grounded in the Word.
Christians need to know their Bibles.
Yes.
Because if they don't,
you will be easily deceived.
Exactly. You're exactly right. People need to know their Bibles, because if they don't,
then they may be hearing demonic theology that's not sound, and they'll believe it because they don't know the Bible.
Is that happening right now?
It is happening right now.
Is it just in limited portions? Is it only at Carl Lentz's Hillsong Church? Is it only there?
This theology has spread into many denominations and many spiritual flavors. It's not just in the Hillsongs and the Rick Joyner churches. It's made a footprint in the conservative, in the reserved circles, in the Baptist, in the Nazarene, in the Catholic community churches. It has also gone full bore in many charismatic and Pentecostal churches. It's almost impossible to find a Pentecostal church that doesn't have this in it anymore.
So as we have stated, ladies and gentlemen, there are several reasons that this thing is so dangerous, but the bloodletting,
the massacring, the slaughtering that's coming,
it's so disturbing. But then it goes even further, Donna, because this heresy is also, it's veiled in patriotism.
It is. Patriotism is, I've always thought, was a religion of itself, but it has been wrapped in this dominionism. Dominionism played a huge role in the last election cycle that we had.
You're right, it did.
Mark Taylor's prophecy was dominionist, and it was really used and pushed onto the church through different programs, radios, and television shows to get people behind the candidate that he was promoting, which was because of dominionism, because they want to see their candidate take back everything that was taken from the church and from America, as if America and the church are one thing. They're not. They're two.
Exactly. And they packaged Donald Trump in a narrative that sold itself. It was the greatest scheme, I believe, that we have seen in my lifetime. They packaged Donald Trump as being the return of greatness, and America was going to return to greatness, and they used all these fancy words that appealed to different Christians. They labeled Trump as a Cyrus. Rodney Howard Brown, for example, yes. He keeps saying, by the way, he went to the Oval Office and prayed for Trump last week.
Yes, he laid hands on him.
But he keeps saying that Trump is going to bring revival to the church. He's going to bring reform.
So how will a foul-mouthed, unbelieving man do this? How's that going to happen?
A foul-mouthed man? Who are you talking about?
Who am I talking about? I'm talking about our POTUS, our president, Donald Trump.
Foul-mouthed Montebank. Fancy word, Donna.
What does that mean?
Montebank. I'm not trying to be mean, but we see it. Montebank means a person who's, you know, the quacks that sell their elixirs, the medicines?
Yeah.
From a public...
The back of his truck with the people pretend to be sick and heal them.
They attract and influence... the audience with tricks and schemes and storytelling. That's what Trump is. And I know that people get mad when we bring that up, but it seems that over and over, Trump will hire people and then he'll fire them, and he'll hire them and they'll show loyalty, and then he'll get rid of them, or he'll hire them and they'll do one thing. And he talks about all of them on Twitter.
But he was sold to us as a God-fearing Christian man who was going to be Cyrus, who was going to be Nebuchadnezzar, who was going to be John the Baptist.
No one in Washington trusts him right now. They don't. Because he's proven himself that he's not loyal to anyone, that they're not his family. And I don't want to deviate and get into that, but Mark Taylor promoted that Trump was going to be the guy. By the way, let's get back to the dominionist that's veiled in patriotism. Mark Taylor promoted that wealth was going to come back to America sevenfold. What's been stolen from America is going to come back. But the one thing he did not do...
is explain how.
Exactly. So what does that mean, Donna?
I know what it means.
What does it mean?
It means that in order to accomplish the money being returned to us, it will require covert wars and preemptive warfare. It means we're going to rattle our sabers in patriotism and go to war, rah, and bring back what we deserve and what we get from those countries.
And he didn't say that, did he?
No. Because Donald Trump is elected, foreign nations are not going to come to us and hand us everything in their coffers.
Exactly. So now let's take this and talk about end-time prophecy. When we read the second beast is going to cause the people to worship the first beast, that means the leaders of the church, pastors of the church, let's take an example, Donna. Let's pick a name. Rick Joyner and Rodney Howard Brown are going to tell their congregations that the administration of Donald Trump, let's say Donald Trump's the guy, the villain, the Antichrist, and Rick Joyner is involved in the false end-time church.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the false prophet and the false, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That means that the leader, Rodney Howard Brown and Rick Joyner, will tell their congregation, hey, the president is going to be passing this law. We need to support it. We need to contribute. We need to follow it. And everyone will clap. Yay, that's good. And it's amazing to me that before Donald Trump became president, most of our listeners, folks, if you have been at this for long enough, more than since before Trump was elected, if you have been a listener to this program or a remnant Christian, and you know what time it is, you understand what's going on, you understand the end times, you understand the New World Order, the Illuminati, the Bilderbergs, all that stuff, Donna, all that conspiracy stuff. We know that there's players and puppet masters, Federal Reserve, Bilderbergs, all that. I find it amazing that all of us were on the same page 2 years ago. We did not like the idea of Jade Helm soldiers coming domestically and involving themselves on the lower 48 in Texas doing things.
Right.
No one liked that.
No.
They got scared.
Homeland Security. We didn't
like
Homeland
Security. Okay, we didn't like the idea of Homeland Security. Remember that, folks? You didn't like Homeland Security because it was Big Sister and the TSA made you take off your shirts and your clothes and they look at you naked and all that.
They cut you up and yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't like Homeland Security. And we especially didn't appreciate police brutality.
Absolutely hated it.
We didn't appreciate the rogue cops that were misusing their power.
And the militarization of our police. We didn't like that either.
We didn't like that they were getting these machines that could bulldoze through anything. We didn't like that.
Our local PD can bulldoze our house now.
Yeah, getting drones and rocket launchers and you know, Apache helicopters. We didn't like that.
That was bad. That was all bad.
Right? It was bad. Remember that, folks? Remember when it was bad? Well, since Donald Trump became president, now he's saying he's the law and order president, and he went to a police association and he gave a speech
in Ohio to
police officers, and he made a comment on it. He said that to them, he said, you know, I've seen images when you put your hand over the suspect when you're putting him in the police car so that he doesn't bump his head. Donald Trump actually said, if this guy just did something bad, don't worry about protecting his head. And all the cops clapped.
They all thought it was funny and great. That's
and they
great
clapped.
Say,
yeah. Yeah. And then Trump says, why do you have to take care of him? Why do you have to be nice? Why do you have to, you know, treat him so nicely?
But nobody raised their hand and said, wait, Mr. President. They're innocent until proven guilty. Nobody said that.
No, they all clapped us and they cheered. Yeah, that's right. We need to mistreat suspects.
Mm-hmm.
We need to mistreat alleged suspects. And ladies and gentlemen, this should bother you. Donna, this should bother every freedom, constitution-loving American when they hear the commander-in-chief tell the nation's law officers
to disregard the Constitution of the United States of America.
That should bother people.
I agree. It blows my mind.
Now, the evangelical Christians who voted for Trump because they said he's Cyrus, they use spiritual terms. He's a John the Baptist. He's going to bring Christianity. He's going to get rid of abortion. Those are Christian things.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But mistreating suspects is not Christian.
No.
That goes against what Christians believe.
It does.
If Obama would have said something like that,
we would be up in arms. We would be writing blogs. We would be articles, writing our congressmen, complaining to everybody we could listen to us.
Obama wants to mistreat us. He's giving police officers the right to mistreat us. But Donald Trump did it. Cyrus did it. And they're clapping.
And to me, this is the strangest form of patriotism I've ever seen in my lifetime. Because this is not patriotism to country. This is patriotism to a man. Patriotism is worship. Patriotism to the point of, yes, I love my country. I don't want to live anywhere else. That's not worship. Patriotism when you say, my government can do no wrong. Whatever my government does is the right thing to do. Or my president, that is worship.
And that's what we see, or that's what we saw take place during Hitler's reign.
Yes.
Where the people loved him and he could do no wrong. And that's what we also read a few moments ago when we read that the false lamb, they spoke like a dragon, will have its voices that will convince all the people to worship the government.
When it says cause, that doesn't mean force. It doesn't mean they're going to hit you over the head with a sword if you don't worship the government. That's what they're doing right now. They're causing Christians who are falling for these lies to worship our government.
And it's going to be through patriotism that the Antichrist will work with the dominionist leaders in the church. In essence, Donna, the false church of Revelation 13 will be a church that is powered by Kingdom Now dominionists. And the Antichrist is going to work with them. Now, folks, make note of this. According to how we're headed right now, when we read the scriptures, the prophecies, the Antichrist is going to work with these leaders to create the most oppressive, bloody regime in history. And it's going to be bloodstained. Why is it going to be bloodstained? Because dominion theology wants bloodletting. They warrant it. They desire it. They believe that it will be their prophetic duty to shed blood. Now, folks, please get a hold of this. This is not a theological fail that is limited to one church in Podunk, Mississippi. This thing is worldwide. It is called Joel's Army, the Manifest Sons of God, the Phineas Priesthood, and they believe that supernatural beings are going to show up on the day of the Lord, which are going to set everything straight. They're going to bloodlet those who are deserving of judgment, those who deserve to be executed.
Those who don't worship the beast.
Donna, there was a vineyard pastor. His name was Jack Deere.
Didn't he write a book also?
He wrote several books about this, and he talked about Joel's army. And he said that this army is totally unique. There's never been one like it, and there never will be one like it in ages to come. It's so mighty. There's never been one like it before. He was quoting from Joel 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said, not even Moses or David or even Paul. What's going to happen now will transcend what Paul did, what David did, what Moses did. Even though Moses parted the Red Sea, there'll be a numerous company. And Revelation hints at this when it talks about the 144,000. Then he goes on and he says that it is going to be the ultimate in apostolic government. Revelation talks about it. It's going to be 144,000 of them. So he's taking the 144,000 and equating it. That's how many of Joel's apostles there are going to be. Joel's army dominionists. And then Mike Bickle, you know.
Yeah, IHOP, the guy from IHOP.
What's IHOP?
IHOP is the International House of Prayer, which is what a dominionist group that is being used to draw your children away from you and into this false heresy.
He talked about the imminent apostles.
He wrote that there's apostles, and then there's imminent apostles, and then there's most imminent apostles. So there are various levels of apostleship, and the Lord was showing that out of the movement there will be 35 of these most imminent apostles. And he believes that there will be hundreds of apostles in this movement, and every movement will have its apostles and prophets. This is what Mike Bickle teaches to the youth that come to IHOP.
So the government, the actual political government, will be dependent on these apostles. And see, that's what makes it interesting. Donald Trump has mingled with these dominionists. Rodney Howard Brown, Paula White, Copeland. He met privately with them on several occasions, and they laid
secret,
hands on him.
But we weren't supposed to be able to hear it.
Right. These dominionists prayed for Trump. And before Trump was the candidate, if we go to the previous election, they thought that it was going to be Rick Perry. Mm-hmm. And they were hoping for even Sarah Palin. And then they thought it was going to be Cruz. And it didn't turn out to be Cruz. They've been trying for several presidential elections to put their spokesperson representative who believes and understands
they
their
were
doctrine.
Even okay with Romney because the Mormon belief is kind of similar.
We mentioned this in a previous program. They believe that there's going to be seven categories that these apostles are going to be lording over,
yes.
The seven mountains. And one of the mountains is politics. Another one is the church, religion, mm-hmm. business, education, entertainment. And it spreads out through all the parts of Western culture. Mm-hmm. But they believe for the political category of the mountain that Donald Trump is their representative. That's why they have been calling him different things.
And that's why you will see, like, if there's a post on Facebook that's trying to call out something Donald Trump does, you will see how there's just this massive group of people that come out to shut it down because they're dominionists. They're fighting for the dominionist cause.
Now, we could have a lot of programs on this, but we just need to make sure that the listeners understand that this thing is dangerous and they need to become familiar. So let's come to the conclusion of this. Let's wrap this up. Now, I want to say something here, and this isn't easy to hear, Donna, but you see, we've talked to people and they say, I've never heard of it. I don't know what you're talking about. And it's right there all the time. They've heard of the Elijah List. They've heard
yes.
of Rick Joyner.
Yes.
They've heard of Todd Bentley, but they haven't heard of this theology. Folks, it's going to take, and it's very important for you to take the time to research this information, because if you have a son or a daughter, a teenager especially, they are after the youth. They are after the millennials, Donna.
Mm-hmm.
And not only to give them some of this weird theology, but they are also into impartation of laying hands to give spiritual gifts. And impartations are so dangerous because, first of all, this dominion theology has the contagion of demonic spirits. Seducing spirits. We just
yes.
read in the last days, Doctrines of Devils. Dominion theology is a doctrine of devils.
It's very seducing to young people.
It's seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, which means there are demons involved. So if the leadership is following doctrines of devils, that means that they have devils in them.
Yes,
so if they lay hands on the listener's children, they're teenagers. Folks, if they lay hands on your teenager at one of these conferences or IHOP.
Yes.
When people go to IHOP, Donna, we have seen people go to IHOP and then return and they're not the same person.
No. When our sons would go to these church camps that were three-day church camps, we would tell them, don't run to the front at the first chance to have somebody lay hands on you. Don't do that. Sit back and watch and listen and compare what they're saying to the Bible, to Scripture, what you know is true. And if it's not, don't participate in it. And you need to tell your children, this is their very soul that you are fighting for here.
Amen. Because you don't want your child to get slimed, folks, with demonic activity. We've received emails from people that went to Todd Bentley that did get slammed on and they messed them up. And it took them years, some of them years, to find deliverance.
Yes.
So for the people who might be attending one of these churches, and if you're at a church, ladies and gentlemen, and you hear the speaker say some of the verbiage that we brought up, like God is raising up an end time army or a special group of end time Christians to perform these miracles and signs and wonders, or Joel's army. If you hear the vernacular or the verbiage, there's only one thing to do, Donna. There's only one thing.
Run, flee, get out of there. That is not a good place to be.
Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wrap this thing up. And this is a lot of information that we gave him, Donna. Some of them are probably an overload. But it's important to get familiar with this. It is so important to start researching. And there's a lot of research online. Folks, you can find it. It's online. It's available. So get familiar with it and do your own research, ladies and gentlemen. Get familiar with what they're saying. Because when you hear people say that there's a great revival coming, the Bible does not say that in the end times. We will not see a great revival. We're going to see darkness, gloom, whirlwind. We're going to see a falling away. We're going to see evil take over the land. It says Babylon becomes a prison of hateful birds and demons. And if America is Babylon, that's happening here. So our job is to become equipped with the word and be able to walk in the light.
We need to keep our lamps full, and we do that by staying in the word and staying in prayer.
Staying in the word, staying in prayer, and researching. Folks, don't let yourself become, and I don't mean this as an insult. Not, and I hope they don't take it as that. Folks, I don't mean it as an insult. But don't become lazy where everything you hear is an audio, where the effort that you contribute with your knowledge and your method of gaining knowledge is only done through someone else looking up the verse and sharing it with you on a YouTube or an audio message from the internet. Do your own research, look up the verses, and pray about what I'm saying right here.
A lot of the signs and wonders that we will see in these end times are from the enemy, and they are to draw people away from Jesus.
Amen. Because we read that. The false church will use signs and wonders and deception. So folks, that's something to think about. When we see signs and wonders in a church, we have to ask ourselves, are they from God or are they from Janus and Jambri, Pharaoh's mystics? Satan's representatives, Satan's sorcerers. There will be sorcery in church in the end times, Donna.
Yes, there will.
So with that, I'm going to close. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be doing a part three. And in part three of this series, we're going to talk about how the Antichrist is actually going to plan his exploits with influence from the false leaders that are out there. The Antichrist is going to utilize their counsel, and he's going to go off on military crusades based on the counsel of the clerics, the false clerics of the church. We're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about how if we're very close to being there, Donna, let's say if Donald Trump could be the guy, if he was, how would it play out for Donald Trump to be the guy and then be influenced by Paula White, who is his cleric? She has his ear. Rodney Howard Brown to influence him to say, hey, the Holy Spirit told me that you can go and invade North Korea. You can bomb North Korea and it's going to turn out great. You're going to bomb Iran. It's going to be great. Bomb Syria. It's going to be great. Don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit told me. Is it possible that Donald Trump could hear that counsel from the evangelical who it is turning out that his only support base has withered down to only the evangelicals? That's all he has left.
Yes.
And if that's all he has left, is it possible that he would listen to their counsel and actually make military decisions? And if that's true, then we could be looking at some events come forth of war that were whispered to him to do, to go forth by these dominionists.
Well, and the Pentagon is full of dominionists.
And we're going to talk about that also in the next program. So ladies and gentlemen, be looking for that. If you don't subscribe to our messages, you can go to our website and subscribe. Also, if you appreciate what we're doing here at Watchman's Cry, we appreciate and we depend on your support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Donna and I make it a point. This is our calling. What we do, it's for you. It's to bring messages to God's people, to God's remnant, messages that will warn, messages that will awaken. And folks, we are doing our best to bring you information that you're not going to hear in many other places because it's not popular. And information like this does not gather a lot of claps and cheers. So those of you that are on board and you understand and you appreciate what we're doing, say a prayer, folks, and pray for this ministry. Pray for Donna. Pray for my health and my family's safety. And folks, also pray about supporting us. And we thank you and we appreciate that. So with that, stay safe, stay vigilant, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.